Ancient Faith Radio and Patristic Nectar Publications present The Arena, Sunday homilies and theological reflections with Father Josiah Trenum.
St. Paul, the great apostle, writes to the Corinthians, "Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong." That's 1 Corinthians 16:13. The good husband's always learning, he's always honing his vision more. He's appreciating his calling more each year. He's always being refined. And his investment in his calling as a husband, he knows, has eternal ramifications for himself and for his family.
What you have just heard are sound bites from The Good Husband, 5 lectures on the Christian ideal. This is a lecture series designed to unveil the core character of the Christian husband and his high calling from God in marriage. This series is especially helpful for young men and women who are contemplating marriage, the engaged, pastors who need premarital counseling material, and husbands and wives who wish to enrich their marriage and establish it as more thoroughly Christian. For more information, please visit our website at www.patristicnectar.org. And now, here's Father Josiah Trenum with the Sunday homily.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. The Holy Gospel this morning, brothers and sisters, is the first of the readings from the Gospel of Luke. It establishes for us and for the church through the ages fishing as a paradigm of the work of the church. Many of the holy apostles were fishermen themselves, and they were taught by the Lord through their earthly vocation to fish for men. The Lord seeks men. He thirsts for them. He labors to catch them in the net of his own love. Our Lord's cross is the hook, and the net itself is the perpetual embrace of God. It's God's family. It's the church, his eternal kingdom. And our Savior, as you saw in the gospel, is the master of the expedition. All the faithful are engaged in this process. If they're not engaged in the process, they're certainly in the boat. And if you're in the boat and everybody else is working in the process and you're not, you'll soon find out that you are an idiot. And people will say, "Why aren't you working? Grab the nets." The clergy are the leaders in the boat directing the expeditions for fishing under the master. And like Peter and the apostles, we must be constantly engaged in this holy work at all times, even, as it says in the Gospels, into the night. And even if, to our perception, we're catching nothing. The Lord's secret providence is always at work. He simply says to us, even after a full day's work, "Go again and put your net on the right side of the boat." And this time, though we're weary, in obedience we do it, and then the Lord fills the net. He's in charge, and he's working constantly, invisibly, and behind the scenes, moving in people's hearts, drawing them by the cords of his own love, arranging circumstances in the lives of individuals so that at the right time, in the right place, they can find their way to the church and into the net of his own love. This is the truth, and this is our life. Priests learn that their work without his blessing is nothing, and that sometimes when it seems like we've been working, and absolutely nothing is happening, that means you're on the very cusp of an explosion of fish that he'll bring to pass very soon. And once you get the explosion of fish, priests learn that you can't count on another one the next day. All under the hand of God, how these fish come. The new fish that come into the net, according to the epistle lesson today, are called converts. You heard that from 1 Corinthians 16, said about one of the great converts of the early church, Stephanos. The word is aparchi. It means the first fruits, and it's used for the first fruits of people in the New Testament by St. Paul. These are the first ones harvested in the preaching of the gospel. This whole household of Stephanus was converted to Christ. And it says in the epistle lesson that he devoted himself and his whole house to the service of the saints. We're familiar with this. We know, and through our own experience, how many times in our fishing, when God blesses and we're successful, that these new converts, each new aparchi comes into the church, and then we get humbled because he or she devotes himself or herself to the service of the saints. Stephanas did it so well that he actually became a leader in time in the church. He rooted himself in the Corinthian community so deeply that St. Paul went on to say that the believers should submit themselves to this man and recognize and obey him as a leader of the church. It doesn't say if he became a priest, if he became a bishop. Maybe we know, but I don't. All I know is that he was a convert who came initially with great enthusiasm. That was proved over time, and he became a leader to whom those who had been believers for a very long time obeyed. What an amazing thing. This process of making converts was the apostles' central task, and it remains ours today. This week I did something I've never done in my pastorate. I looked really hard at data of our own active parishioners, and I marked down exactly who was a convert and who was not, so that I could say something accurate about our own parish. I found that I was off. I've used as an example many times, I've said we're about a 50% convert church. This is what I thought. I always am correcting those who say we are a convert church. I've always known that that's not the case, nor would I want such a thing. Such a concept frightens me, actually. But I thought I've been using the 50%. This is what I've been using. I found out, truly, in our present active parish membership, we are 34% convert. One in three of our active parishioners have been converted and received into the church themselves. This does not include the children of converts, since the children of converts are not converts. Unless, of course, they were children who were received with their parents. But we have a lot of kids whose parents were converts in this church. And these kids are being raised the best way, which is born and raised from infancy in Holy Orthodoxy. I'm very thankful to God for this percentage, and I'm hoping that it will continue to increase indefinitely in the future, that we'll continue to have a strong percentage of those who find their way to the church and convert. Making converts isn't everything, for sure, because it's extremely important for those who are converts to become mature and thoroughgoing Orthodox Christians, and it's very important for converts to be thoroughly converted, to assimilate to the church, to our way of life, and to leave the baggage of their previous confessions or no confessions at the door. That's what we ask of them. We're not asking them, however, to leave their virtues at the door. We want them to bring those through the door. And like Stephanos, to become an example of piety and service to us. I love it how many times I've heard our parishioners who were raised from infancy in Holy Orthodoxy tell me how convicted they've been by the devotion of the converts. I love that. I love that we can give thanks to God for that. And that's how it works. When someone who has a hot flame comes in the presence of other candles that aren't so hot, everybody gets hot. Everybody gets warmer. It's a great blessing. We want all of the converts to the faith to come and to bring their virtues, but also to leave their stuff that can't be assimilated to the church, leave it at the door. Our culture has a lot of struggles, and we don't need more in the church coming in with our converts. Once we catch the fish, once they're brought into the net, as so many of us have been, we have to keep them in the net so that they themselves can become mature fish and even become fishers themselves. Too often, the fish jump out of the net. This lack of integration takes place for a lot of reasons. But I think you would be shocked to know the average percentage of recidivism among converts across America. I think you'd be really shocked. Our parish is not representative of a normal recidivism rate, even though, in my opinion, our recidivism rate, which is 10% in 5 years, is way too high. Way too high. Remember, don't let that just be a statistic. If we've received 200, that means 20 are fully gone back into the world in 5 years. That's horrible. I mean, these are 20 people that we knew and loved. But the rate is much higher than 10% across our country. Too often the fish jump out. And one of the foremost reasons for this recidivism is a lack of proper catechesis in our churches. Sometimes we pastors act irresponsibly, and we allow the inquirer to dictate terms to us. Maybe they want to get married, and we feel somehow we can't stop that process, and so we cut what should be a good catechism, we cut it short. There is no dictation from inquirers and catechumens. And priests some of whom are very naturally nice, I'm not talking about me. Some priests who are naturally nice, out of their love, need to force themselves to be more firm and to let the catechumens know we don't need them, they need us. The church doesn't need converts. Converts need the church. And it's very important for that message to be communicated so that we have expectations that are met so that people take the process of becoming Orthodox serious, because catechism is a serious process. It's an assimilation to the Orthodox Christian way of life, and it takes sustained effort, usually no less than 1 to 2 years of submersion. The deeper the foundation that's laid, the higher the edifice of the Christian life that can be built. The bigger the roots, the better the fruits. This is how it works. And the church has a catechetical process that is ancient, tried, tested, and found powerfully effective. We have a chart of the initiatory process. I'm holding it right here. It's posted on our parish website for inquirers and catechumens to survey. It simply is designed to show in bubble format here what the movements of the catechetical process have always been in the church. It starts with a period of inquiry for the seeker, which is a minimum of 2 months. This involves attending services, meeting with clergy and laity, doing research. I ask that those who are inquiring read at least one book on the Orthodox faith, introducing the Orthodox Church. And it's also a time for the inquirer to count the cost personally. In this period, those who are inquiring and are seeking, they're asking themselves the question all the time in their mind, could I be an Orthodox? Could I be a member of this church? It's like a couple in courtship, and they're each secretly asking, could I actually live with this person the rest of my life? That's what's happening in the inquiry period. If they come to a position where they say, yes, I want that last name. I want to be married to this community. I want to become an Orthodox Christian for the rest of my life. Then they enroll into the catechumenate of the church. They approach the pastor. He tests them. I always ask them 2 questions. One, do you know what you're doing? And what I mean by that is, do you know enough about us and about the faith, even in these few months that you've been here worshiping with us and reading and talking? Do you know enough? Of course, you don't know everything and you never will. You'll know a lot less later than you do now. But do you know enough what you know that the church will provide the answers to your questions in the future? And two, do you recognize this is the end of the line? Whatever you've been before, even if it was nothing, even if you hopped from church to church for 10, 20 years before you became Orthodox, this is it. You will die an Orthodox. You're making a lifetime commitment. If they can answer those two questions, they can move from the inquiry period to be enrolled as a catechumen. They can go from dating and courtship to engagement. Once they're enrolled through a prayer and they join a class of catechumens, they participate in a process that is at a minimum of 1 year long. And they fulfill the requirements of the catechumens. And we have posted publicly on our bulletin board and on our parish website what's called the catechumens requirements list. It lists the things that catechumens participate in to fulfill their catechesis. It includes 16 meetings with the pastor for lectures, 8 before Nativity and 8 before Pascha, during the major fasting series of the year. Besides those 16 catechisms with the pastor, which are each an hour to an hour and 15 minutes long, there are 45 Sunday catecheses that are delivered by our lay catechetical team. On 45 of the 52 years, there's about 6 or 7 Sundays that are big celebrations, like Palm Sunday and Pascha, where I don't want our lay catechists having to leave and not receive Holy Communion on those Sundays. So they stay. But the other 45 Sundays, we bring the catechumens up, and the whole church calls the grace of God from heaven down upon the catechumens in the litany of the catechumens. And the priest prays for them that they would be strengthened by divine grace, protected from the wiles of the evil one and the pull of the world, so that they could soon be united to the holy mysteries of the church and join organically the body of Christ. Then they get sent out, and a member of our lay catechetical team teaches them. It's a rich instructional period. They're required to visit other Orthodox churches. I want them to do that because I want them to recognize, as easy as it is for people to become Orthodox in this parish, such a friendly place where there are so many others. I mean, 34% of you have gone through this. I want them to know that's not true everywhere. And they're not just joining this parish. They're becoming Orthodox Christians, and they will be Orthodox Christians wherever they go. They need to have their eyes open. They need to be willing to go to an Orthodox church in some small town where they go for work that's going to have the entire service in another language, and they're going to be okay with that. They don't have to be happy about it, but they need to endure it if that's God's will for them. They do reading. They identify a ministry and a service of the church, a patron saint. They have the beginnings of a prayer rule, and they learn to fast. And the goal of the catechumen, the fundamental center of his or her quest, is to get to a place where others in the parish do not know that they're not Orthodox yet. This is the goal of being a catechumen, is to acclimate, assimilate such that everybody thinks you're already in when you're not. Going through that process, when you've completed the year, the next stage after inquiry and catechism is the period of candidacy. You get enrolled as a candidate for being received, baptized, or chrismated. And this is a serious moment, and it happens in the 4th week of Great Lent. By the 4th week, those who have fulfilled their year's catechism and are hoping to be received at Pascha, their sponsor comes to the pastor and says, they're ready. And then the pastor says to the sponsor, on your reputation, do you say that? That's the whole purpose of a sponsor, brothers and sisters. A sponsor is not just someone who will consent to stand with you and buy you a candle and a cross. A sponsor is someone who's willing to recommend you to the church as someone who should be enrolled amongst the membership of our community. And in order to do that as a sponsor, you have to know this person is serious, they know the creed, they're ready. The pastor can't do that for 25 people. This is your job. So when you get asked by a catechumen to become a sponsor, a godfather, a godmother, remember what you're being asked. Don't just say yes. Find out, can you sponsor this person? Can you recommend them to the pastor. And if you can, fine. But recognize, historically, sponsors have some reputation on the line. You receive someone in, they become some sort of, you know, axe murderer. We're coming to you. This is candidacy. By the second part of Great Lent, by the middle of the fourth week, these people are enrolled on a separate list, the catechumen candidates, and they get special prayer in the pre-sanctified services of Lent leading up to Great Saturday. Exorcisms are done for them, which are very powerful in helping them make a final break and a commitment to the church. They renounce their heresies, they make public affirmations of the historic faith, and then they're received into the Christian faith at the Great and Holy Saturday baptismal liturgy. Splendid and sublime rites establish the person in union with Christ and as a full member of the church. This, brothers and sisters, is called catechism. This is the means of authentic assimilation, and it's the way that fish are brought into the net and are prepared to stay in the net and not jump out. Now, there's other reasons besides improper catechism that fish jump out of God's net. Their own sins, scandals sometimes, and the vicious pressures of the fallen world, which are always trying to lure us, even those who have been fish their whole lives or since they were 40 days old. But most fish, properly caught and brought into the net, remain and spend their entire lives doing what fish do, which is swimming against the current. That's what fish do. Fish swim at all times against the current of this world. We press into it, we're submerged in it, and we swim against it. It's called walking the narrow road that leads to eternal life, not the broad road where there are many people going to destruction. Do you know, brothers and sisters, the only kind of fish that swims with the current? There's one kind of fish that swims with the current instead of against it. A dead fish. That's the only kind. So don't be that and go with the pressures of the world. No, we fight against it. We swim upstream to the kingdom. Now, I want to end my homily this morning about fishing people, by bringing your minds to our current spot, our current situation and reality as a parish. You know, virtues and vices, spiritual strength and spiritual pathology, don't just apply to individuals. They also apply to parishes, and I might even suggest they apply to dioceses. A whole parish can have a disposition, good or bad, through the collection of the people that are there. Even a diocese can have a disposition, good or bad, depending upon the bishop and the parishes. Sincere and loving interest in people is a Christian virtue. We cannot love God and not love people. We can't be interested in the Lord and not in those he's interested in, which is each other and everyone. Such is impossible. And this virtue in a parish manifests itself by a welcoming spirit towards all visitors and an outward orientation towards the community in which the parish lives. The opposite of this virtue is indifference to people. And this indifference manifests itself in a parish that doesn't greet visitors, doesn't say hello, doesn't open our arms and welcome them to us, or spend time with them, investing in them. This spiritual pathology is an inward, parish-enclosed mentality where all we care about is our stuff. That's a sickness. We should bear witness to the openness of God by being open and interested in people. This means not just being willing to host them and love them and spend time with them when they come to us. That's a big part of our task here, especially because we've built something here that attracts people in search of beauty. Because of the outrageous beauty of this church, People love to come all the time, and we have them all the time. That is part of our work. But brothers and sisters, that is totally, totally easy compared to the work that God's asking us of reaching out. It's one thing to welcome those who seek us, but the apostles actually went out into the water. They threw their net wide, and we must too. One of the ways that we're doing this, brothers and sisters, is by engaging our community and inviting them by the thousands to come to our church. That's what our parish festival is all about. This festival is a serious fishing expedition, and we have made so far an immense investment in this work. And this is not something I can do, or Father Luke can do, or our parish council can do. We cannot host 6,000 to 10,000 people with a parish council and a couple clergy. It's not going to happen. Brothers and sisters, we have spent already thousands of joyful volunteer hours of preparation by our festival and committee chairs, by our cooks who have been in our kitchen using our brand new $5,000 oven, which one of you graciously donated, putting it in a brand new $2,000 freezer, which another one of you graciously donated. 200 massive trays of foodstuffs are already made, working constantly, every day, all day. I know this because I'm right above them in my office. And everything I'm doing has now been articulated by a fairly loud, joyful din. I don't know what else to say. It's been quite interesting. We approached our city, brothers and sisters, something we have never done. We approached our city and filled out a nearly 40-page application to obtain official city sponsorship for our festival. The city not only granted that after multiple meetings, they not only formally endorsed us, which means that they allow us advertising in the city, they themselves advertised us, they gave us money. They sent a check to us. I've spent an hour with our own mayor in his office. We've met with our councilmen and other council persons. We've gone to the Chamber of Commerce mixers. Brothers and sisters, this is on the map. We have spent over $10,000 in advertising. We have major billboards on the 91 freeway, on Van Buren Boulevard. We had two electronic billboards. We have sent flyers all over several zip codes. This is not a small thing. This is a massive endeavor. We have a fantastic website that has had over 500,000 impressions, tens of thousands of views. Why am I telling you all this? Scary, John says. Yes. It certainly is. But brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, what a joy. What a tremendous opportunity. We are going to open the doors of our house and invite thousands of our community to come and meet us. Most of these people are going to walk through this church, most for the first time. They're going to walk through the fellowship hall that all day yesterday had a maze of steel walls built in it. By the way, we're going to have a unique coffee hour today, where they're going to see an Orthodox art and faith exhibit. They're going to eat all sorts of incredible food made with love. They're going to see some wonderful live music from very talented people, some of whom are doing this, even though they're not members of our community, are doing this gratis. They are coming to do this for free. So, I want you to see this in the right perspective. I want you to see this as a fishing expedition of love, as an open embrace of openness, of an outward orientation, an interest in these people. Some of them we may not be that interested in. But we're going to love them nevertheless. We're going to help them have a wonderful, joyful time and find out a little bit about why we Orthodox Christians love to feast, why we would have a festival, why we would be happy to have people into our house. They're going to find this out. They need to meet you. You need to be here. You need to be here Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You need to get sweaty and tired. You need to get so tired that you have to sit down and keep going. Because that's what I'm going to do. That's what everybody else is going to do. We can only do this. Of course, we're biting off something huge. This just seems to be our way at our parish. We bit off something huge when we started our church. We bit off something huge when we built our hall. We bit off something super huge when we built the church. Somehow the Lord God has blessed. We can do this. We can set a beautiful paradigm of interaction with our community with joy and happiness. And I want you all to do this. I want you to do it with happiness. And even if you haven't gotten in yet, get in now. Find a place to serve. We needed some chicken hackers yesterday. Wow, did we have a boatload of chicken? And there was Mr. Claypool hacking the chicken by himself. I don't want to see that vision anymore. I don't. Let's do this together. Let no one not be involved. Work hard. Do it with happiness, especially on the last day when you don't have any energy left. By the way, come to church on that day. Come to church. Worship the Lord and serve, will you? I want you to be involved in the process of fishing. Who knows if at the end of the day we don't pull up the net and there's fish in it. To the glory of God. Amen.
We hope that you have enjoyed and have been edified by this presentation offered to you by Patristic Nectar Publications, a non-profit organization committed to nourishing the spiritually thirsty with the sweet teachings of the Holy Fathers. Until next time.